Let's get to know you.
And thank you for moms, Lord. And we would be lost without them, just like we're lost without you, Lord. So we just give a special thanks to moms. Lord, today we learn something about you. Maybe we already knew it, but maybe we just need to be reminded or just kind of learn from it. So we pray that your words be spoken here today, Lord, not mine, but yours. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We wouldn't even be here right now if it wasn't
for moms. Right?
Yeah.
Nope. So did you go Happy Mother's Day this morning?
Yeah. I'm going to China Walk of Faith for lunch.
Oh, for your mom, right? That's because it's your mom's favorite lunch place, right? Oh. Oh, maybe you should find out. Right? But I do have a question for you guys. Is what do you guys know about the temple of God? There's a lot of information, but huh? Like there's the tabernacle. So the tabernacle was when they were leaving Egypt, right? It was the portable one. It's the mobile one.
He was buried in it.
Huh?
He was buried. That was the tomb. That was the tomb.
That was what?
I said he was buried in it, but that was the tomb.
Yeah. No. So the tabernacle is the model for the temple, right? And the temple is where, like, the Ark of the Covenant, you know, where Indiana Jones found. And it got folded over. But did you know that the very first temple, so there was the tabernacle, and then Solomon finished the temple, right? David kind of started, got things provided for it, but then Solomon finished the first temple. And then you guys all have heard, like, the Babylonians conquered and took some Jews away, right? But what'd they do to the temple? They destroyed it, right? They destroyed it. And then it was rebuilt, and then Romans destroyed the second one. You know, today it hasn't been rebuilt from today. So Israel does not have a temple of God, what's there in Jerusalem. You know, they have places they worship, but they don't have the official temple of God. Now, there hasn't been any sacrificial offerings since 70 AD. So that's the Old Testament sacrificial, where you had to go and, you know, have a sheep or a cow, and then their blood would cover your sins for the year. You know, that system, that sacrificial system, hasn't been around since the 70 AD. Like I said, so they were required, they had to do that sacrificial offering at the temple. Now, we know that because of Jesus' sacrifice, we don't have to do that. You know, his sacrifice covers us forever, right? So we know that, but most Jews do not believe Jesus is the Son of God. So there's a little bit difference. They believe in God, but they don't believe Jesus was the Messiah or that he is the Son of God. They feel like he was a good rabbi or a good teacher, but not who he claims to be, or not who he is. Now, most, you know, the ones who practice believe in the old ways, you know, the Old Testament. They stop at the Old Testament. They don't go to the New Testament. Now, there are some what do believe in Jesus. But alarming rate of the Jews don't even believe in God. You know, they would be self-proclaimed atheists. And then, unfortunately, there is a large... I mean, I don't know. You hear stats and everything, and they feel like somewhat true, but then they feel like, oh, well, there's so many, there's half, but I don't know. I'm not there. But there's a lot that don't even believe in God. But there are those who want to rebuild the temple today. There is organizations and people are pushing to rebuild the temple. Now, the place that they have to build, so there's a specific place, a specific mountain, they have to rebuild the temple, called the Temple Mount. But a long time ago, in between the times where the Jews were not there in Israel, the Muslims built one of their temples. It's called the Dome on the Rock. That's what it's called. They built one of their temples. So imagine tomorrow morning, you know, you're sleeping, sound asleep, and you're woken up by the sounds of a backhoe digging in your front yard.
There's a fly right there.
Yes, there is. Digging in your backyard.
Of a what?
A backhoe, digging in your backyard. That's a machine to dig, right? And somebody had decided to build their house in your front yard. How do
that
you guys feel like, yeah, it could be, but how do you guys think you and your parents would feel about that?
Not good. Because then that means when we have to go to work, we have to
go through their living room door, right?
Yeah, or we would have to open their garage doors just to get out.
Right? I guarantee your parents, there'd be a war, right? There'd be a legitimate war happening, whether it's somebody else. So, you can imagine, you know, the Islamic State, they're not just going to be like, oh, yeah, go ahead, build your temple. Because the Islam and Jews do not already like each other. It doesn't take much for them to get in a fight. You know, tensions are high. There will be a fight that breaks out. So, I'm telling you all this. This is kind of a little background where we're at. In Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And if you remember, I'll ask you to read. If you don't want to read, you don't have to. Lucy, do you want to read that?
Yeah. And I was given a reed like a golden rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months.
Where are you? Does it work? Well, I was supposed to work, and then the first house was already clean, second house, they extended their stay, so I was just like, well.
Oh, glad you're here. You must have had to come here for me, for my sake. And that's a good for you drink, right? Not an energy drink. No, you look good. So the events of Revelation are future events, right? Most of the events we're talking about are future events. So in order to interpret them, we have to look back in other places of the Bible if we can. We have to look at what's happening in the day when it was written. And we also have to take our best educated guess. And that's kind of what it is. It is educated, but it is a guess. So in that, John is told to measure the temple of God. Now, in Ezekiel, you'll see that there's measurements and it's all specific. You know, and I feel like, if you will, not a bad thing, but you will is like God is kind of OCD on numbers, right? He likes things perfect. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. And numbers are perfect because there's no absolute, you know, they're absolute. You know, numbers are what they are. So they have to be exactly. So there is a big, long description of the temple and exact measurements of everything. So John is told to measure the temple. Like I said, right now, there is no temple of God to measure, right? There's no temple of God in Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. When John wrote Revelations, it's roughly 95 AD. So 25 years later, give or take, so John knew that the temple wasn't there, right? But he's told to measure it. Now, is the temple going to be rebuilt, or is this a spiritual temple John is going to be measuring?
Spiritual temple.
James says spiritual temple. We'll find out. Or we'll take our educated guess. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, Bodhi? Yeah, no, that's, oh, okay. No, you're fine. Sometimes, yeah, if you can't see that, that's Jesse?
No. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate.
And drop heat.
Okay, so Daniel wrote this prophecy. Anybody know who Daniel was?
Daniel Tiger.
He was a prophet. Yo, he was one of those ones where when the Babylonians came and conquered Jerusalem, he was taken back to Babylon, right? So he saw the temple, the first temple, get destroyed. But he wrote this prophecy, and it talks about the Antichrist. The Antichrist during the end times. So he talks about the Antichrist, and what he's talking about is the Antichrist is going to make peace in the Middle East. Middle East is always
that
about war,
rhymes.
Right? Huh?
It kind of rhymes.
So the Antichrist is going to be controlled for 1 week, it says. Now, what Daniel means, and this is the confusing part sometimes, is what he's talking about when Daniel is talking about a week, he's talking about a week of years. So how many years would that be?
7 years.
7 years, right. Good, quick. So the middle of the week would be what?
4 days.
Huh?
3 years.
3 and a half. Right? 7. Exactly half of 7? 3.5, right? So half.
3.5 times 3.5.
Right. So the middle of the week, the Antichrist is going to turn on the people of God. He's going to be like all making nice, but he's going to turn on the people of God and say he's going to stop the sacrifices and offerings. What that means is that he can't stop something unless they were already doing it, right? And the only place people could make those sacrifices and offerings is where? The temple. Exactly, the temple of God. That's the only place they're allowed to. So then we'll see the Antichrist is going to put the statue up of a false god, more likely himself, but we're not 100% sure. But he's going to put the statue. Some translations think it's going to be Zeus, but he's going to put up the statue in the temple of God, right? So that is way wrong. God's not going to be happy, right? Yeah. That is the abomination they're talking about, because he's going to say, no, you need to worship this
that
person.
That is so bad.
Yep, that is going to be bad.
There's only one God, there's God.
Right, exactly. So Daniel kind of, we're looking back in the past, in the other things of the Bible, and we see that it seems like yes, the temple will have to be rebuilt. And so we're going to go back to Revelation chapter 11 and 2. Anybody, how quick are their math skills as far as how long is 42 months in years? Anybody?
3.5.
Well, close enough, right? 3.5, right? Exactly. So it's 3.5, right in the middle of 7 years, right?
There was a fly flying behind you, and it just hit the wall and fell.
Well, good. He was distracting. So it seems like before the end times, the temple will be rebuilt. Now, like I've already mentioned, the dome on the rock. What is that? The temple, a Muslim temple, right? The Muslim temple is right there on the Temple Mount. Now, people have been scratching their heads for a long time. How is Islam going to be okay with the Jewish people going and destroying their temple so that they could make their temple, right? Doesn't seem like they'd be okay with that, right? There's no way they'd be okay with that. Now, there's been these newer research, and they're saying, well, you know what? Actually, the exact spot their temple isn't in the exact spot the temple of God is supposed to be, the foundation. It's a little bit off. And it looks like the location of the temple or the dome on the rock is actually in the outer court area. The exact same place God says, do not measure because it was given to the Gentiles. Yes, James?
What is a sackcloth?
What is a sackcloth? So it's kind of like a burlap bag. You know, it's kind of like a sack of potatoes. Typically people would dress like that if you're like in mourning.
I'm a potato.
Not necessarily a potato. But they're saying is, oh, woe is me. Right? They're in mourning. Things aren't going their way. They had a loved one die, whatnot. But they're in mourning. Did we get to that point yet? Somebody put it up there quickly. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. Revelation 3. Sorry, James. Can you read that? Since you already read it.
And I will give power to my two witnesses. They will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in potatoes, in sackcloth.
Right, sackcloth. So God will give power to two men. Now, over the years, people reading the Bible, studying the Bible, they have been trying to figure out who these two witnesses are going to be, right? It's logical. We want to know. As humans, we can't stand things we don't know, so we have to try to figure them out. Now, it could be, with God, anything's possible, right? So it could be former prophets, somebody like Moses or Elijah or Enoch. And they come up with this is because they'll have the similar powers or they've done similar things that these witnesses are going to be able to do. So they figure, well, it could be them. And there's, you know, like Elijah and Enoch, they were carried away to heaven. So there's no really recording like they passed away. So maybe God's going to bring them back for this. We don't know. Or it could be two new faces. People we don't really know, but there's two witnesses of God. You know, and whoever they are, it doesn't really change anything, but what they're going to do is they're going to prophesy for 1,260 days. All right, 1,260 days. What is that in years? me guess.
3.5
3.5 exactly. Jesse, you're so good. Yo, numbers are very, that's another thing. So numbers are very specific, right? And things line up. You know, they don't do this in sackcloth, which is a symbol for mourning, right? Mourning. So remember what happening a couple chapters ago or chapter ago? Lucy and Bodhi might not, because I don't know if they're going through Revelation, but there's been a lot of people, a lot of things happen, and a lot of people have died. Right? Up to this point, there's been a lot of people who died. So, typically, when things happen, when bad things happen, people will go to something that is hopeful, right? Or at least search for hope. So that's what people are going to be doing, right? Feel like it, there are going to be those where it's going to be stubborn, but there's probably going to be a remnant of some people that are looking for hope. In Revelation chapter 11, 5 through 6, 4 through 6. Yeah, 4 through 6. Technical error, it's my mouth. Oh my goodness. That's a long one. That's too little. It's too little. I know James would want to read it, but Lucy, do you want to read it, or? It's Lucy's turn, so.
These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. If anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire.
Fire. Fire coming from their mouths. So these two witnesses, they're going to be like two olive trees and two lampstands, right? Which sounds kind of weird, but did you know that? So there's a lampstand, right? It's kind of like a lantern, if you will. So they put oil in it, and then you light it, and then the flame goes because it's oil, right? And that oil is olive oil. So olive oil is combustible. It's flammable. So these olive trees would be just feeding the lampstands, right? So there's olive trees, lampstands. So what it's signifying is a constant beacon of light for God. There will be a constant beacon, always showing God. You know, God will give them the strength to do this, to keep going. He will protect them, and he will give them ways to defeat their enemies. You know, nobody's going to be able to touch them, right? Fire from their mouths. They could do plagues. They could stop the rain. And that's where all these things is where they get these other prophets, because all these other prophets have done those things. But they're going to be able to do all this. And then Revelation 11, 7, and 8. Jesse?
When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified.
Yeah, so all these guys, great witness and protected and everything, but then... So, but notice, after the testimony, after they finished what they're meant to do, not before, but after the work was done. Satan kills them. Yes, Satan did overcome them. God has a plan. God allowed them to be overcome. Yeah, but he has a plan. Knowing that, we need to also notice that most cultures feel like one of the worst things they could do to somebody is that you don't put them to rest after they're dead. You don't bury them. In the Judea system, they want to do it 24 hours. Within 24 hours, you die is to bury somebody. But if you want to make a scene, or if you want to scare people, or you just want suffering or cursing to happen, is that you leave the body out. And that's what Satan did, is he left these bodies out in the streets. You know, they referenced Sodom, so we know Sodom represents, you know, immoral acts, right? Debauchery. And then there's Egypt, which is a symbol for oppression and slavery. And then it's the streets that Jesus was crucified, so killing of innocent people. There's all that those streets are signify in these two witnesses, and probably their followers will be dead in the streets there. Revelation chapter 11, 9 through 10. James.
Then the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies during the half days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into the graves. And those who dwell on earth will rejoice over them, make merry and send gifts to one another. And these two prophets torment those who dwell on earth.
So 3.5 days the bodies will be in the street. And people will celebrate. It's talking about, you know, tongues, different languages, right? And different nations will celebrate because they felt like they were tormented and convicted because of these witnesses. You know, there's people out there who will feel that way, you know, because when they hear the truth, they don't want to hear the truth, they'll feel like it's torment. Anybody remember Jonah in the whale? Right? So Jonah, he was sent to be a witness to Nineveh, if you guys remember that. But he did not want to go. Why? Why didn't he want to go? He was scared. I think that was part of it. But the nation of Nineveh was his enemy. So he could be scared that something's going to happen to him. But did he like Nineveh? Does he like his enemy? These enemies might have killed somebody he knew. So he hated Nineveh. And that's ultimately why he did not want to go. He did not want Nineveh to be saved. So he ran away, right? He ran away from God. Did that work? No. It did not work. Then he got spit up by a fish, right? I just hit my tablet. So it didn't work. He had to testify to Nineveh, right? God kind of made him do it. And it seems like it probably wasn't a loving warning, right? A loving testimony. It was probably more like, you know what? In 40 days, you guys are going to be all dead. Okay. In 40 days, you guys are all going to be dead. You know, he's just telling people they're going to die. But Nineveh repented, and God held back destroying them. Is that the testimony these two witnesses are going to have? You know, more, you know, 3.5 years, gonna die. You know, some warnings might sound harsh, You know, but any warning is really given out because you care. You know, if you did not care, there would be no warning. In Revelation chapter 11, 11 through 13, Lucy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we looked at that, you know, the two witnesses. It looks like Satan had got one over on him. But God always has a victory. God will always be victorious. He resurrects the two witnesses, right? They were there, and all these people celebrating. It's like, oh, yes, we did it. And then God just brings light into them. It's like, no, you didn't. And he brings them up into heaven. You know, and for those who stood against God, stood against those witnesses, an earthquake. A tenth of the city falls, killing 7,000 people. You know, it is so easy in our lives to focus on the bad, to just hone in on, oh, everything is just horrible. The doom and the gloom, right, of the world. But God has a plan. God is in control. And how sweet it is when you see somebody doing good, right? Have you seen that where, you know, it's like, oh, you're feeling horrible, then somebody does something good, and it's just, it's so nice. In Psalms 27, 13 and 14. Jesse?
I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the God, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Even people, when they're at their wickedness, God will give them one more warning. God can't help but love us because he is love. You know, we need to trust in him, trust that he is in control, that he has a plan in everything what comes our way, and look at the good things of the world. Don't focus on the bad. Michelle, can you close us in prayer?